Show goes on for the second half of its pilot episode. Ramon, Kayla, and pilot Will, episode. Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. This pilot is flying into another fast 2 hours.
Ooh.
Coming up, ESPN's Ryan Clark talks with us about the Titans and talks with us about a couple of 2001 Tennessee LSU games that I think a lot of people in this town would like to forget. We're going to talk about it coming up in just a couple of minutes. Rhett Bryan in hour number four as we continue Scout Meeting Wednesday, making the show happen. The best producer in the control room right now, Jonathan Schaefer.
We didn't even get
didn't
a
have
smile.
The drop ready. This
we
is perfect.
We didn't even get a smile. He's Foster, concentrated.
Kayla Anderson.
There we go.
And Will Bowling with you. Brent Doherty trying to start a little bit of a turf war yesterday. Jonathan Schaefer, your thoughts.
I choose violence every time.
Right? So there, can we have MMA? Like
there was thing? Talks of a tag team match with you and Hunk on one team and Lucas and Robert on another team.
Wow.
Do you accept these terms?
3-on-1. Bring them all against me.
Oh, wow. Okay. Did we get that recorded?
Yeah, we did.
Hell yeah, we did.
Okay.
That's the problem is Schaefer can choose the narrative of what he wants recorded of things he says.
By the way, I was going to say, I don't know if I want to go against Burt, but Schaefer said 3-on-1. Bring it. I'm rolling with Schaefer, baby.
I'll just give him a brownie. He'll be okay.
Oh, my goodness.
He'll bring the crowbar.
I'll bring him a brownie. What the heck, man?
I love it. 615-737.
I'm saying I would bring him a nice confection. That's all I'm saying.
I'll leave it at
chocolate
that.
Chocolate makes me kind of sleepy, too. On the phone lines, we have Blake in Florida up next. Hello, Blake.
Morning,
how are you?
Blake.
Did he say in the Florida?
He did.
Yeah, down here in Florida, guys. I appreciate y'all letting me jump on here.
It's, of course.
Thanks.
I heard you guys. For starters, welcome to the show. I love this show, 104.5, and it's excited to see new faces on here, man. You guys sound great this morning.
Thank you, Blake.
But I kind of wanted to touch on this wide receiver conversation y'all were getting into. I don't know what the Titans have done, man. They have invested so much money into people that love to be hurt. You know, we got Robert Woods. I almost forgot this guy's name the other day, trying to talk to one of my buddies down here. And I was like, I have to Google his name just to figure out who he is. Our receivers are so irrelevant and just so unknown. And I get so worked up about this Treylon Burks deal. We have given up 2 first-round picks for this kid. We gave up A.J. Brown and last year's first-round pick. I mean, he has done nothing for us. And it's just been absolutely crushing. And it just – what I'm worried about is we're going to start seeing the Derrick Henry of the Marcus Mariota days. Nobody's afraid of these guys. Nobody's going to be out of that box. They're just going to load it up. And we're probably about to get back to the production he had when Marcus Mariota was under center. Nobody respects the deep ball because who do we got that can catch it?
Thanks for the call, Blake. Appreciate the kind words. I would say the truth, guys, is somewhere in the middle. Because he's had 140-plus all-purpose yards in the last 2 games, 143 and 147. So it's working right now, and you just did that against the best rush defense in the NFL coming into Week 4 in the Indianapolis Colts.
Indianapolis Colts.
In the Indianapolis Colts.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Thank you. So, I don't know. Guys are going to step up at that position. I think Chigakonkwo stepping up is a big plus, but ultimately, right now, guys, the Titans win that game because the defense was opportunistic and won the turnover margin 3-0.
Go ahead, Kayla.
No, you go first.
I was just going to say, good call, Blake. I appreciate it, but it's super early on Treylon.
Yeah, it is really, really early.
Injuries happen. Okay, Bobby Trees, you signed injured or traded for injured. Okay, I'm with
Bobby
it.
Bobby Trees it. Also, like,
he's healthy.
He's healthy, and that was a quick recovery.
And his
by
role
the way.
Is what? He's a number two.
He's a number
being
two.
Real
really?
About it. He's playing it well. I get the idea. There's no real threat. Okay, because then you look at where AJ went.
There's
no big names. And I'm with that, but Treylon is also still a rookie.
Yes.
Treylon's also just finished his 4th game. I know he's injured, but this types of stuff happen all the time. Like, I think you see what Treylon can be the same way Cincinnati saw what Joe Burrow could be when he tore his ACL. Like, I'm not excusing it. I'm just saying you got to kind of pull back. I think the conversation that we're having or the conversation that's pretty much come up is this team isn't just where you want them to be right now. Considering 2019, then 20, then 21, you're the number one seed. I don't want to say there's been a little bit of pullback on what they're actually doing opposed to what the fans' expectation is.
But would the fans be this livid right now with picking on things like the wide receivers and all and Todd Downing? Would they be that livid if they could score some points in the second half? Nope. No.
Oh,
and ultimately,
because you want to know why, too, just to push this to another situation. Reason you can look at the Vols right now and be like, whether they win or lose, I need them to compete. And I think that's the one thing that they're missing from the Titans right now is that volume of points. You go, what, 2 second halves without no points scored?
Three in a row.
Well, I'll tell you
three
what,
games
it is,
in a row.
As someone who watches Tennessee football, obviously, every week, it is kind of jarring to go from the complexity of what Tennessee does back to the old school run the football.
Yeah.
In the second half for the Titans, because I'll give them in the first half, the route concepts for Dontrell Hilliard in week one against the Giants.
Good.
Really good.
To get him in the end zone. The Chigakonkwo play on third down. That was 25% of your second half yardage in Indianapolis. He had 28 yards on 20 plays, and Chigakonkwo had 7 of them on one play.
Yeah.
So that's a quarter of everything you earned in the second half right there on one play to move the chains. I think that's the level of creativity and complexity that Titans fans want to see in the second
consistently.
Half. But ultimately, Kayla, and I've said this the past couple weeks with Ramon, that I think you're still paying for the mistakes Ryan Tannehill made throwing interceptions last season in second half.
Absolutely.
I think that ultimately is why this team continues to be so conservative.
On the head. Because I think Mike Vrabel is choosing to play conservative in the second half.
More so than ever.
Because he knows, and he said it at the end of the game. He said, I knew the defense could get out there and get the job done.
Yep.
So essentially, he was kind of saying, I knew I could count on my defense to hold it together. What? When you can have that philosophy for a bit, but when it comes down to it, when 100%. You start, when you come out of the bye week and you've got these teams one after another, you can't have that philosophy. And I wanted to add another stat in terms of offense that is a bright spot if they can actually capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that the Titans are actually number one in the red zone right now at 90%?
Whoa.
In the NFL. Now, granted, a lot of that's coming off of obviously the first half.
Yeah.
But the good news is that when they get in the red zone, they're getting in there.
Yeah.
If they can do that in terms of somehow managing to get the offense going in the second half, you could really see this team start to go.
To come together.
Sure. 615-737-1045 is the number. Capel's up next on the phone lines. Hello, Capel's.
What's up, Cape?
Man, how y'all doing on this fine hump day, man?
We're great.
It's good.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you. It's going good, man. Oh,
okay, I thought I was breaking up.
Nah.
I think kind of welcome to the crew, girl.
Hey, what's up, Capels?
Hey, welcome on. Well, I'm glad you're on here to get this crew some color, man.
Thank you. I said, I'm bringing the good smells, Capels.
Good smells, good looks. We appreciate it.
No problem. Glad I could help.
I just wanted to chime in on this AJ thing, man. I mean, Titans fans, bruh. I mean, y'all got to stop just being ready to jump off the ledge all the time. Look, I miss AJ, but I just wanted to bring up this point, and then y'all can talk about it when I hang up. But, I mean, you don't trade AJ, right? You keep AJ. Do you have a right tackle? Do you have a quarterback QB1 of the future? Do you have a Treylon Burks? So we keep AJ. Then we will still be having depth problems because you wouldn't have no right tackle. You wouldn't have been able to draft Petit Ferrer possibly. You wouldn't have got the pieces that we drafted from that trade. So, yeah, we miss AJ, no doubt. We wish we had him. But trading him was for the good of the future of the team, or we would be in way more depth issues than we have right now. Just want to hang up and listen to that. And Will, change your Twitter pic, bro. Please.
It's a good picture. Thank you, Cable. It's my new headshot I got yesterday to announce the show. It's a great picture. I'm okay with it.
They talk your stuff, Will.
That's fine. I'm not mad about it.
Will is thick-skinned, all right?
He's getting there. He really is.
It's so good to learn that at an early age.
It's so good,
Will.
The sooner the better, man.
Oh, getting it thrown into the fire of this show?
Yeah.
That's right. I think it's a good point, though, that the way that you win in the National Football League is by overcoming the value of what you're paying your best players. So what I mean by that is there's a reason why so many quarterbacks with rookie contracts make Super Bowls. and win Super Bowls. It's why Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals have the ability right now to spend as much as they did on the offensive line. Now, it didn't work so far.
What is
but
that?
It's why they could try to spend as much money as they have on the offensive line is because of the value you're getting for, you know, bargain prices at the quarterback position. That's essentially what the Titans tried to do. And guys, I'm more of the opinion that this is still the right decision, and I'm not willing to say it was the wrong decision about the A.J. Brown trade at this point. Is because a couple of years ago, remember when people were taking victory laps about Tom Brady going to Tampa and saying, he's washed, and, you know, week 4 or 5, they're losing to the Saints, and this guy, he just doesn't have it anymore. He just wanted to get away from Bill and be a Florida man and retire. And he won a Super Bowl.
And now look where he is.
You don't judge. In week one, we were having the same conversation about Julio Jones.
Yeah, we were.
Like, Julio just had to go to a fun environment with offense, and now he's healthy and living his best life. And look where he was in week two. Back on the training room, where he was in Nashville.
Yep.
I think it's too early to judge that trade simply because...
I'm with you on that.
The pendulum has swung, and you can argue too far, but the pendulum has swung to the other direction where John Robinson said, I am never playing 91 players ever again in one season. I don't want to set a record anymore for most players used. So availability is the number one ability that you can have within my team. And the reason why A.J. Brown is not here is because he was not available from week 1 to week 17. I think it's that
simple.
You
say that, but AJ's been very available for the
through 4 weeks. He has. He's been banged up a little bit.
He's been killing.
Kind of being facetious about
doubt. Well, but see, this is the thing too. If I'll say this, as we go up on this break, man. If John Robinson's running away from injured players, then you're running in the wrong direction because they're everywhere.
Exactly.
Okay. To not have 91 players cycle through, that's one thing. But just in general, fans, like people, us, and me included, injuries happen. It's just a part of it.
Right.
You cannot fight it, cannot run away from it. There's no telling when it's going to happen to the next person. It's just it.
So in an alternate history of college football, Tennessee beats LSU in the 2001 SEC championship game. Tennessee goes to the national championship. Phillip Fulmer either wins a national championship or plays in it and remains Tennessee's coach through the 2007 season. And Nick Saban doesn't go to the Dolphins or the University of Alabama. And one of the biggest reasons why LSU with a backup quarterback beat Tennessee in the SEC championship is the star safety they had on that team, Ryan Clark of ESPN. We talk Titans with him. We talk about the 2001 Tennessee LSU game, where he finished his career as an LSU Tiger before being an undrafted rookie and going on to have much success for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We do a little bit of everything with Ryan Clark, former teammate of one Ramon Foster, coming up next. It's Ramon, Kayla, and Will, powered by All Four Seasons of 104.5 The Zone.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow, nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
It's Ramon, Kayla, and Will, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors here on 104.5 The Zone. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Will Bowling, Ramon Foster, Kayla Anderson, first day on the job. And we go to the Mark Spain Real Estate Hotline, talking Titans with ESPN's Ryan Clark, a former teammate of the 11-year NFL veteran sitting to my left, Ramon Foster. What's going on, Ryan? Good morning.
Morning, RC.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're good. And certainly want to get into the Titans and the NFL discussion today, but I got to ask, with Tennessee LSU coming up this weekend, Ryan, a 2001 Tennessee LSU SEC championship game is a tough topic for a lot of people in this town and in this state. What do you remember the most from your perspective in that game?
Receiver Kelly Washington. I believe that was his last
name.
That's
him.
Walking side by side with me off the field, me telling him, man, you know, great game, best of luck going forward. And him telling me he was fine with losing because he was going to be a first-round pick, and I'd never play a play in the league.
No!
Wow. Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's that. I think that's what I remember most about it.
I love RC.
What did I tell you about keeping a chip up? That's why I love DBs.
Yeah, RC, me knowing you, you didn't punch him in his face?
Nah, you know, man.
I love it.
At the time, it wasn't even, it was one of those things that didn't even bother me. I kind of laughed at it. You know, I look at it as a little bit of trash talk, and he was just salty. You know, he lost it. They lost the game they definitely shouldn't have. I think they were the better team. They kind of showed it early on in the season. We had gone on the run, and sometimes you just get on the run and those things happen.
Right.
And I want to say he went to Cincinnati, and I saw him later on, you know, during that time. I think I was in Washington, and I reminded him of the conversation, you know.
Yeah.
The unfortunate part was, as I was finishing my 13-year career, he was really nowhere to be found for us to talk about it. So,
exactly. Hey, talk your talk. Exactly.
I know eventually you get to it, RC. I know eventually you get to it, man. With that being said, though, about LSU-Tennessee coming up, man, a top 25 matchup. I know y'all transitioned to a new head coach. We are in a new system also, man. If I could just ask you, watching that Tennessee offense and being a defensive back, how do you prep for something like that? And I know being in Death Valley and Baton Rouge also plays a part in it also, RC.
Yeah, I think the college game has changed so much. The college game is starting to almost mirror Little League football, and I don't say that negatively. I say that as, remember, in Little League football, the best athlete just played quarterback. And he didn't necessarily have to throw. They wanted to have the football in his hand. And so now you look at these quarterbacks, you know, being able to do so much, especially with such a veteran quarterback like the Tennessee Volunteers have, you know, a guy that's seen it all, that's been around it all, that's been, I mean, he's a grown freaking man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's older than many of the quarterbacks that are drafted in the first round because those guys are just juniors. And so when you have that type of experience, it's hard to shake that guy. It's hard to show him different things that he hasn't seen. Death Valley is a difficult place to play, but we're talking about a full-grown adult. This isn't a kid. And so when you look at this offense, I think they can beat you in multiple ways. They've shown to be very explosive. And the one thing I kind of like go back to is watching them play Florida and Florida – continuing to make plays, Florida keeping pressure on them. It was like every time Tennessee's offense needed to find an answer, they did. Whether it was a wide open guy running down the sideline, whether it was extending a play and getting extra time. I think all of those things are important. Defensively, LSU has grown a lot since the first game against Florida State. There's been some changes in the secondary. Michael Baskerville has gotten healthy at the linebacker position, and they found some people to, you know, to fill the places of losing a guy like Mason Smith, who's supposed to be an ascending superstar. So I look forward to the matchup, but I think the true question is, you know, what is LSU going to be able to produce in the pass game against Tennessee after really, you know, not playing well at all in that phase against Auburn?
Yeah.
Okay, so Ryan, I'm going to change it up a little because your kid goes to ASU, right?
Yes.
So I'm a Pac-12 girl. I went to Washington State.
Okay.
So just, I'm curious because living over here, and I've lived over here for about 9-10 years of my career, it's hard to watch Pac-12, right? It's hard to follow the Pac-12 after dark. The hours are so different.
Yeah.
How much do you keep up with obviously your son being there, but with the Pac-12 in general, just because the time difference?
Well, the first thing is like, I'm a real dad.
You know?
I think sometimes you get to do these jobs and people forget that you're just normal.
Yeah.
And the one thing that's not normal about me is, you know, I have a ton of jobs still. Yep. So I earn enough. I go to every single game.
Yes.
That's awesome.
The only game I'll miss is Stanford. And that's because my daughter is a senior in high school. And she has homecoming that night.
Oh,
you know, so I'll be there supporting her. I keep up with it all. I just keep up with ball in general, though.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't play for Tennessee, but I watch them because they're on TV and I just love college football. And I think, you know, the odd thing about the Pac-12 is, you know, you can't compare it to the SEC.
Yep.
And that's in no slight to the Pac-12. But when teams are pulling from Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, you know, and having opportunities to get the best out of California. You're going to get the best out of Tennessee. I think you just can – the way that you were able to recruit in the SEC, I believe, you know, is just – there's no peer, there's no match for it. And then you look at also the coaches in that league and, you know, what they've done historically with putting guys in the NFL. And so I think the Pac-12 suffers a little bit from that in the sense where you look at a guy like Najee Harris, who now plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's a five-star running back, number one running back in the country. He doesn't go to school in California.
Right. Exactly. Right?
Bryce Young, who's the quarterback of Alabama, Heisman Trophy winner. He's from California. C.J. Stroud's from California.
Yep. Wow.
D.J., I can't spell his
Uwe
name.
Uwe
there it is.
Clemson. Yeah, him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, and so I think just even speaking of those players who many would assume would end up being Pac-12 quarterbacks and them not kind of shows you the deficit in which the Pac-12 is in when it comes to football. But, like, I enjoy it because I just go to watch as a dad anyway. So, like, I don't care if the Pac-12 is great or if they're not.
Right?
I just really care what number one of Arizona State does and how he's feeling. But, you know, there's definitely different levels when you talk about the Power Five and the strength of different conferences.
Yeah, definitely.
Really good point.
Ryan Clark, ESPN, with us here this morning on Ramon, Kayla, and Will. So, Ryan, what do you make of this Titans team through 4 weeks, some good and some bad? How do you evaluate the start of their season this year?
I think the one thing you have that's a positive is, you know, it seems like Derek's starting to get going a little bit. They're getting him in space. I think what I really have loved, you know, in the recent weeks is his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield, because I think that gives him an opportunity to be the best him, right? And what's the best him? Get the ball in space and be able to run really fast, really straight. Because once he gets that momentum going, once he, you know, gets to top speed, nobody wants to get in front of that little truck,
yeah.
You know. So I think, you know, I think they've been really smart about that. Obviously, you know, the injury to Treylon Burks and what's been going on with the pass game needs to improve. They've had injuries in the secondary as well, and they've been kind of piecing that together. I think the first thing that's a positive is that they play in the AFC South. Right, which surprisingly Jacksonville is really, really good this year. Or not? I will. Well, hold on. I'm comparing them to like other Jacksonville.
Sure,
really good. They're good though. They're better.
They are better.
And you know, and so you look at that. You know, this is a team that's going to have a chance to represent the AFC South in the playoffs as the division champion. I think this team is nowhere near some of the teams we've seen recently, though. Especially, you know, the team last year that had the great regular season and was the number one overall seed in the AFC. But I feel like Mike Vrabel always finds a way to get things going. Disappointed early on, and I'm in the airport, by the way, I'm sorry. I was disappointed early on about the kind of the lack of physicality I saw from him. But I think those things are starting to pick up as well.
Ryan Clark of ESPN with us here this morning on 104.5 The Zone. Ryan, do you see defenses playing Derrick Henry any differently and viewing him as maybe a little bit, I don't know, I guess Ramon made the point of defenses might not fear Derrick the way that they used to.
I text him.
What do you see from the way defenses are playing him?
Well, you know, people hate me and when I talk about Derrick Henry, so that's always funny. I think it's not necessarily about fearing Derrick Henry. I believe everybody respects him, right? You don't do what Derrick Henry has done in the NFL and not earn and garner the respect of defensive coaches, defensive players. I think Derrick Henry has a very specific skill set that doesn't necessarily match his body. And I said that a ton of times, right? Derrick Henry is not this physical downhill runner that doesn't need holes, that doesn't need space. He actually needs a ton of space. He's actually more finesse, more speed, more explosion in the open field than he is, you know, road grader, than he is run over a linebacker. Obviously, there was the hit week one with Tate Crowder that about a million people sent me. Why did they send it to me?
Because I always
say if he's faced up or if he's, you know, in the hole before really getting started running that, you know, I've never seen him create his own space with lowering his pads because he runs high. And that's just a true statement. But I think people still understand who Derrick Henry is but it's also about his offensive line. It's also about the scheme and design of the run game, which Ramon can speak to much more than I can, and giving him an opportunity to have space. I think, you know, there's some running backs who create their own. There's some running backs who have the elusivity once they get the ball where they don't need necessarily as much. I believe Derrick Henry is a guy that has to get going first before he can be effective. And we've seen some of that in the recent weeks.
RC, that's one way of talking offense in the NFL is the run game. The other side that we've had this morning is the wide receiver. What is the wide receiver in the NFL these days? Because A.J. Brown name continuously comes up here in Nashville, even though he's in Philly.
Right. I think when you look at what elite wide receivers have done to change offenses, we truly have to value the position and the way the money has trended. Right. Look at the way the money has trended for the position with guys earning up to 25, 30 million a year, whether it's Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, A.J. Brown, Deebo Samuel, D.K. Metcalf, all of these guys. Now, think about this, and many people don't want to give Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles this credit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Josh Allen was a very good quarterback, a very talented quarterback, but he was just good. He was just talented. And then he got Stephon Diggs, and then he started to be a part of MVP conversations. And that was going into his third year. Now, no one thought Jalen Hurts was Josh Allen. No one spoke of him in that way. All of a sudden, he's gotten A.J. Brown, and Jalen Hurts, at least through the first quarter of the season, he's in my MVP conversation, right? And,
yeah.
And obviously, you can't attribute that all to A.J. Brown, but think about last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a torrential downpour. He throws an interception on his first drive. After that, he continues to go to A.J. Brown, intermediate routes, quick screens, short game, quick game, getting the football out of his hand to a superstar wide receiver. And, like, I can't throw a football. I could throw a hitch, though. I could throw a slant, you know. And so you're looking at what a wide receiver could do to change your quarterback and change your offense. I think it's gone from one of those underrated positions and undervalued positions to one of the more valuable on each and every team.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to switch over to the defense. And clearly you kind of brought it up, Ryan, but there's been some bumps and bruises in the secondary, obviously. But where I think there's a bright spot, and I don't know how much you've seen of him, but the rookie cornerback, Roger McCreary, you know, three-star coming out of high school, goes to Auburn eventually. I think people thought, from what they saw in camp, that he was going to be a contributor. But, I mean, he's been a contributor from the jump. And obviously there's things he still has room to grow. But, I mean, what have you kind of seen out of that secondary? Also, Christian Fulton, an LSU guy.
Well, first of all, McCreary, if you watched any Auburn games last year, you knew he was a dude.
Yep.
Right.
It was about the way he competed. He was physical. He was in your face. He would tackle. And I think you've seen those things translate immediately to this game. Those are things that don't take thinking, right? You don't have to think to run fast. You don't have to think to be competitive. You don't have to think to be confident. And he's done, you know, all of those things. And I think that's shown very early. He's also been pressed into play extremely early. And I think, you know, that takes a different mindset from a DB. And honestly, to me, without his ability to acclimate right away to the NFL game, I think the Tennessee Titans would be in a ton of trouble on the back end.
Yeah.
And, you know, and K-Baby, as
K-Baby.
We call him. Yeah. You know, K-Baby is crazy. The NFLPA years and years ago wanted to do this thing where, you know, NFL players would mentor very talented high school players.
Yeah.
And so I was retired at the time, so they basically drove down and took me to all of these different high schools to meet these players. One of those players was a junior who had only played in 7 games the year previous and had 11 interceptions. His name is Christian Fulton.
Yep.
Nice.
And so I've known Christian since he was 16.
No way.
He's probably said 4 words since then as well. He doesn't talk very much. But I think, you know, he's been banged up a ton since he's been in the league. I believe he has elite corner talent, though. Like, I believe he's a I believe he's the one, and I believe he's the one in the way that a Denzel Ward is, a Jair Alexander, but you got to be available. When you look at his progression throughout his career, it's everything you want a corner's progression to be other than being on the field all the time. And so I think his health is paramount to what this team can do defensively because, you know, you've seen it, whether it was in camp, he's, you know, on DeAndre Hopkins, he's on the Julio Joneses, or even in the games, him being matched up on number one.
Yep.
They need him to be that guy, especially when you haven't necessarily gotten what you expected out of Caleb Farley.
Mm.
Great points.
Oh. Good stuff. Hey, Ryan RC. Clark, we could go a lot longer, but we are out of time, man. Appreciate the time. Ryan, you're the first guest in the history of this new show also, so I appreciate the time.
A
high honor for you.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't ruin it for everybody on day one.
No, you did.
No, it's great stuff.
RC, I can't wait to hear this Griffey interview, so you know.
Me too.
Thank you. It was awesome, man. I fanboyed pretty much the whole time. So I'm not sure how well I did my job, but he was great.
I would have did the same thing. I saw the clip with the jersey on.
Best
I was like,
lefty swing
I
ever.
The jersey, the shoes, the hat, everything.
I had the shoes on, the jersey. I only asked him to sign one of them because I felt like it was a bit much to ask him to sign the shoes too. But now I feel like I should have. The greatest thing about this is, I'm going to tell you really quick, he flew himself on his own jet to the interview.
Wow.
I love it.
I see. RC, that's a level we're all striving for.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and after the show, he showed us his yacht, too. So.
God!
Not bad.
RC, yeah, you got
Ramon. Invite us next time, RC.
Ramon's going to be shopping in the next break. So
exactly.
No, Ramon ain't got that type money. RC, we'll fly first class. We're good there.
Ryan Clark, ESPN, been our guest. Ryan, I really appreciate the time. Great stuff as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, you guys have a great one.
All right, there is Ryan Clark, former LSU Tiger, Pittsburgh Steeler, and ESPN talker.
Did we expect anything less from Ken Griffey?
I knew I like no, but I expect anything less from RC too.
Nah, RC that
best lefty swing in the history of baseball.
RC's that guy, man.
Maybe best swing in the history of baseball.
I'll wear that shirt the next week.
There you go. 615-737-1045. Mark will lead us off on the phones when we come back. Plus, I want to react to one thing that Ryan Clark said there. Everybody always thinks about the Derrick Henry comments that he makes, and he's got a different perspective on that as someone that played the safety position. But what he says about the Titans' defensive backs is very interesting to me. We'll react to that coming up next. It's Ramon, Kayla, and Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone. If it's all right. It's Ramon, Kayla, and Will, powered by All Four Seasons on 104.5 The Zone, the pilot episode of the show. Will Bowling, Ramon Foster, Kayla Anderson with you. Jonathan Schaefer making the show happen. Good stuff with Ryan Clark, former Pittsburgh Steelers safety and LSU Tiger, who talks about quite a conversation he had with former Vol Kelly Washington.
That's great.
Coming off the field after Tennessee beat LSU in the 0-1 SEC championship game. Guys, there were like so many good nuggets of what he had to say about the Titans that we glossed over just the savagery he had to a former Tennessee wide receiver at the beginning of that conversation. But I wanted to highlight his answer about Roger McCreary and a great question by you, Kayla, and kind of setting him up with this analysis, because it is clear that Ryan Clark is a big fan of the Titans' top two corners right now.
Yep.
McCreary, if you watched any Auburn games last year, you knew he was a dude.
Yep.
Right. It was about the way he competed. He was physical. He was in your face. He would tackle. And I think you've seen those things translate immediately to this game. Those are things that don't take thinking, right? You don't have to think to run fast. You don't have to think to be competitive. You don't have to think to be confident. And he's done, you know, all of those things. And I think that's shown very early. He's also been pressed into play extremely early. And I think, you know, that takes a different mindset from a DB. And honestly, to me, without his ability to acclimate right away to the NFL game, I think the Tennessee Titans would be in a ton of trouble on the back end.
So there you go. Ryan Clark with high praise for a Titans rookie at the cornerback position.
Got two good ones that he was really high on, though.
Mm-hmm.
He liked Roger Christian Fulton, too.
And Christian Fulton.
K-Baby.
K-Baby, yeah.
That's correct.
That's interesting. But and boy, I was real close to saying, screw this break and ask him about Caleb real quick.
I know, right?
Yeah.
He did mention him at the end, though.
He did mention him in a default type of way, like without Caleb Farley.
But that's
like,
what we all are.
Yeah.
That's what we all feel right now. Yeah, it's like a default.
It is.
615-737-1045, the number. Mark in the Borough, been waiting patiently to talk with us. What's going on, Mark?
Morning, Mark.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I'm doing well. So just want to hit on Coach Vrabel. I think this guy's awesome, man. He's working with a bad team right now. And I hate to say that, the Titans are my guys, but he's working with a great team. So if you notice that his interviews that he's speaking in, you know, he's very pissed off at the way the fan base is reacting to everything. If it's not Tannehill, we're blaming Derek. If it's not Derek, we're blaming Traylon. If it's not Traylon, we're blaming the GM. So, you know, now we're always looking for somebody to blame. Mm-hmm. I just think we just need to pull it together, slow it down like Roger said a couple of years ago. Hey, we're only lost a couple of games.
Right.
Like, chill out. Things will get better. And we're 2-2. Granted, we should be 3-1. Mm-hmm. You know, but I say trust Vrabel, trust the process, and to just allow him to get these guys who are he's working with all these rookies and all this new talent. Give him a chance. He's also the coach of the year. Trust the process. I ain't go.
Thank you, Mark. Sure. Appreciate the call.
Mark was very calm in his deliveries. Basically told everybody, pipe down.
We need those type of fans.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You got to even it out a little.
Because on your side of it, you've been, you know, you report. Like, I'm sure you hear the chat on the outside. Mm-hmm. It probably kind of lends you or sends you certain ways when it comes down to you reporting or asking questions. Yeah. Like, how toxic can that get, Kayla?
It can get toxic, especially when you know what's going on with the fan base. They demand answers. And when you're in those press conferences, we have a job to provide content for our outlet.
Right.
But you also have a job. You are the person who is pretty much the middleman between
Riviera
between the players and the fans. And so it's your job sometimes to ask those tough questions. It's finding the right way to ask them.
For sure.
It has to be asked sometimes. But I think he's right when he talks about Mike Vrabel, because whenever it's come down to things, I feel like we always rely on the fact that Mike Vrabel gets the job done for the most part. When it comes down to it, he was coach of the year.
Yes.
There's a reason why he was able to do what he did with that team last year with all the injuries. Like, this guy is a great head coach. Fans are frustrated, rightfully so. But also, pump the brakes a little, because there's still a lot of season to be played.
We got 13 games left, right?
So I like all the fans' calls today, honestly, or the listeners' calls today. I think it's been a good, happy medium of both sides.
615-737-1045 is the number this morning. And just like that, ladies and gentlemen, fours up. Fourth quarter of the show begins when we come back. Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio talks about Titans and Commanders. His biggest matchups the Titans have to win going into Sunday. We'll be right back at it for 60 more minutes. Don't blink, you just might miss it on 104.5 The Zone.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.